Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Bay Area Headquarters Authority for Wednesday, July 23rd. First of all, if I may turn to the secretary to confirm that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I'd like to announce that our meeting is broadcast on the MTC website, so if you would like to follow along at our meeting, you can do so there and invite all the speakers to speak clearly into the microphone. We look forward to public comment. Welcome your comment. If you'd like to make a comment on any items before the authority today, please fill out a blue form, which is on the table next to the window, and I will call on you at the appropriate time. So our first item of business, I'd like to confirm we do have a quorum and move to the consent calendar. May I please have a motion to approve? Moved by Commissioner Tissier.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Cortese. All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Next item, item three, we have an update on 375 Beale Street status report for July of 2014. I'd like to turn to staff member Stephen Wolf for that update. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Stephen Wolf, Baja staff. I'll be giving you some highlights from the packet on the project status. On the design side, we are in the process of picking final colors and finishes of interior and exterior elements as the contractor submits samples for our review. The large majority of the design is complete. On the construction side, last month we reported that the Drug Enforcement Administration's relocation to Pleasanton will be delayed to March 2015, a year from our initial understanding. In our call with the Government Services Administration last week, they maintained that they are still on that schedule, and I am actually taking a site tour this afternoon to see their progress, so I'll be able to look at that versus the schedule that they've shown us. We've looked at various ways to accelerate our project, including bringing in non-agency tenants on the lower floors first. But we believe the least costly alternative is to complete the project as originally planned, with the agencies moving in first, followed by non-agency tenants. We have a schedule that shows the agencies moving in by December 2015 and the tenants shortly thereafter. And we are working with McCarthy on the development of the cost impacts, which we will have for the authority in September. On the interagency collaboration, we are getting ready to release a request for qualifications for in the next few weeks for a move coordinator services. The relocation to 375 Beale will have four major components to it. The relocation of the Air District's lab, the network services, and then the two buildings, the one at Ellis Street and the Metro Center. So the move coordinator services will help plan these relocations in advance of the physical move. The physical move is a separate scope of services. On leasing opportunities, even in advance of our marketing efforts, we have received interest from non-agency tenants on the floors levels 2 through 5. But we have not been able to secure a deal with these early interested parties because their relocation dates were in advance of when the building would be ready. But there is a stream of interest coming forward. Those are all my highlights for this month, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Any questions? If not, thank you very much. We can move on then to item four, which is the item four, the utility relocation for contract construction services.
Thank you, Commissioner Stephen Wolf, Baja staff. On the screens are attachment A from the packet, pictures from attachment A. Also, you have a pink sheet for items 4A and 4B, which correct the headers of the approval sheets. This project undergrounds the overhead lines on Harrison Street. So what you can see in the images is a view from Main and Harrison, and I'll do it on the screen to my left. You see that there are poles in front of our building and then overhead high voltage lines that run along them. I don't have my glasses, so it's hard for me to see. Hopefully it's clear for you. The work to the exterior of the building includes repainting, and if you recall, we will be doing some demolition on this corner to create an eighth floor notch, and we will be removing a segment of the exterior here to create an elongated window. But also just regular repainting and window washing requires that these lines be de-energized or relocated. But for our project, to do the work that we need to do, this needs to be done by March 2015. Pacific Gas and Electric has indicated that shutdowns will become increasingly difficult to coordinate with new developments coming online in Rincon Hill. If you've driven through that area, there are several new condominium towers that are going up or have recently just been completed. At the same time, Tishman Spire is the developer of the neighboring property at 201 Folsom Street, so the opposite side of where this picture is taken. A condition of their planning approval is for them to install new streetscape on Harrison, Main, Beale, and Folsom Streets to comply with the Rincon Hill streetscape master plan. So the image that you see here, the sidewalks will be widened, street trees will be put in place, new light poles will go in, but the city did not require that the overhead utilities be undergrounded. So that is not part of Tishman Spire's scope. Undergrounding is not a requirement for our project and was not included in the original scope, but we think that it's the best long-term solution and that the timing is as good as it will be to perform this work for a few reasons. We would resolve future operational concerns related to maintaining the building exterior. Performing this work after the Tishman Spire streetscape work is completed would increase repaving costs that would be required of us. The work is not otherwise scheduled to occur. It's not on the city's designated areas for undergrounding by PG&E, so it won't occur otherwise. And first and foremost, it provides a public benefit that's consistent with the intention of the Rincon Hill plan by enhancing community aesthetics and improving safety in that area. The work is scheduled to take 4 months, and if started in August, would be complete in advance of the rain season and before exterior building work is scheduled to begin. The civil work will be completed under a Baja contract, and the electrical relocation will be performed by Pacific Gas and Electric. Baja advertised the civil work with an invitation for bid and received 3 bids. The low bidder, A&B Construction of San Francisco, provided a bid of $498,000. PGE prepared a contract for the work they will perform, which has been reviewed by Baja for consistency with the required scope of work. And the cost of that work is $518,257. We currently have the capacity within our existing project funds to perform this work. And the recommendation are staff recommends that the authority authorize the executive director or his designee to award the contract for construction of the utility undergrounding at the regional agency headquarters project to A&B Construction, the apparent lowest responsive bidder in the amount of $498,000, pending staff's review of responsiveness and responsibility. Should staff determine that A&B Construction is not responsive or responsible, the authority authorize the executive director or his designee to award the contract for construction of the utility undergrounding to St. Francis Electric in the amount of $629,565. Should staff determine that St. Francis Electric is also not responsive or responsible, the authority authorize the executive director as designee to award the contract to NTK Construction in the amount of $685,200. That's item 4A, and I'll hold up on 4B.
You know what I think might be helpful? If you provide the staff report for both of those items, since they're related, and then we'll take one at a time for
sure.
The actual vote.
So my apologies. That was the staff report for both, but I'll read the second recommendation.
Great. Perfect.
Staff recommends for 4B, the construction services, electrical utility relocation, Pacific Gas and Electric Company for $518,257. Staff recommends that this authority authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into a contract with PG&E Electrical for electrical utility relocation in the amount of $518,257.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Stephen. So first of all, let me just ask if there are any questions of commissioners. Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. I'm supportive of this recommendation. And it would be a bit of a tragedy not to underground these utilities while we're doing this work. And just to clarify, there is no undergrounding happening in San Francisco unless private property owners do it, because we have no money to do it. And the state utility fee that we used to access to do it, we're not going to have access to for, I think, 20 years or something like that. Because as I understand it, it's impossible to get a straight answer from the CPUC, but my understanding is that PG&E is using those funds for its gas line work, given the San Bruno tragedy. But my question was, so we're, as part of this project, basically tearing up the sidewalks and redoing the sidewalks as wider sidewalks around the building. Is that the case?
No, in this case, Tishman Speyer, the adjacent developer, is responsible for all the streetscape work. And right. The undergrounding work that we're going to do in advance of their streetscape work is in the street itself. So we have the opportunity, before they do their major work, to lay the – well, the pictures are so far away – to lay the utilities in the street and not have to do the repaving work that would otherwise be required. Tishman Speyer will come back, widen the sidewalks, which will now be absent the poles, put in the trees. It includes vegetation and bike racks, and there's a whole series of things that Tishman Speyer will do.
Right, but so my understanding is that typically when you underground electric wires, it's undergrounded under the sidewalk, except when it's crossing the street, of course. So who's going to do the undergrounding for the wires that are going over the sidewalk? Are they doing that, or?
No, for clarification, in this case, the wires will go in the street.
Okay.
The boxes where they're pulled from will go in the sidewalk. So we have found locations of existing sidewalk where we can put those boxes without having to do sidewalk work. What we do have to do is redo the bolt. The ramps, the curb ramps, where we do work in the street. So there are three curb ramps that we have to revise.
Right. I'm thoroughly perplexed because my understanding is that when you underground electric wires, it's in the sidewalks, not in the streets, because we're tearing up every street in San Francisco pretty much, and we're always told there's no efficiency to do undergrounding when you're doing that because it requires tearing up and redoing the sidewalks. And so I'm confused about that. But you mentioned that there's the city is, quote unquote, not requiring the undergrounding. And so the question is, I want to make sure I can go back and talk to the right people. Is this a situation where that probably should be required, that the work is already being done, so why not underground the wires while you're at it? Or is that really adding a significant additional piece of work?
You mean of the adjacent developer? Why aren't they required to underground the electrical utilities? That's a good question, and one that I asked several times. Tishman Speyer's planning approvals predate the Rincon Hill plan. So there was a lot of ambiguity about what would be required of them, except that it was known that they would have to upgrade at least to be compliant with some future plan, be it the Rincon Hill plan that didn't exist or the Transbay Terminal plan. They both have landscaping aspects to it. There was no verbiage about undergrounding overhead utilities, although if you look at the pictures, there's no overhead utilities in the pictures. So I guess that wasn't a strong enough case. And the planning approvals have gone ahead and they just don't include the undergrounding.
Right. I'll follow up on that. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Weiner. Yes, Commissioner Kinsey?
Thank you. I just want to understand this. Between the two change orders that we'd be authorizing about $1 million for this undergrounding, it was not in the original budget for the project, and yet, Stephen, you said we can handle it. Does that mean that it comes from the contingency and you're satisfied that with this point in the project, we won't exhaust that contingency?
Commissioner, we're not. And I think, as Stephen mentioned in part of his presentation, We are going to have to come back to you and deal with the budget in September because the delays we've taken with DEA are simply well beyond the contingency that we set aside. We did not expect that we would have a full year delay in getting them out of the building, and that means McCarthy is going to have to do the work over a much longer period of time. So the time-related overhead related to that is simply not an expense we can cover. We've also learned some things about leasing, and so there are some other issues that we're going to have to come back to you with. There's enough money to award this contract now, but we're probably going to need more from you to get the whole thing done.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification. And, you know, we were very stingy when we started this project because it was quite politically sensitive, and we were concerned about the economy. And I know that real estate has certainly been soaring as tall as the buildings in San Francisco, but there's a part of me that says this is really an aesthetic improvement, you know, hidden behind a safety characterization, and I'm all for it. I think it's a good thing to do, but I'm really struggling with why it wasn't identified and put into the budget from the very beginning, because we spent an awful lot of architectural eye time on this building. So it's a question of how did we miss $1 million?
Commissioner, that's a mea culpa for me to you, and I think you sort of answered the question in your question. We were operating at a time where every single expenditure was being scrutinized, and I think we made the decision, instead of including it, to defer it and see if we could deal with it later, depending upon how the budget might go. I think you're right that it would have been a smarter decision to include it in the first place. I think, as it turns out, given the DEA delay, there's sort of no harm, no foul. You're able to make the decision today at, I don't think, any additional cost. It just would have made sense, as you say, to include it in the budget from the outset.
Thank you. Are there any other? Yes, Commissioner Azambrato.
Tom Azambrato, HUD rep. A follow-up on Steve. In the past, I asked if we could have the original budget and then the last budget so that when we're looking at changes, that we know what we initially anticipated and what the change is from, so that we're not just adding a man or whatever, you know, paraphrase Dirks and a band here, or being, you know, it's actually real money, and the same with a man. But that way we understand it in perspective to what our initial perception is. And we're talking about it here, but if we actually could look at the numbers, it would really give us a sense of what we initially anticipated and where it is now. Thanks.
Commissioner, we'll have all of that for you in September. And as you recall, you did do one budget revision in between the start and now, and we provided that information to you then. So there are going to be no secrets. We'll lay it all out from start to now. And again, I would prefer that we had this information for you today, but we want to get it right because I do not want to ask you again. That's what I said the last time, and I certainly want to mean it this time. And I think we finally have the home stretch in sight. So I think we can mean it this time. And it's going to be quite transparent about what we want to include, and you're going to be the ultimate decision makers about how much of a bite to take. But I'm afraid the DEA delay is just something we've got to deal with. And if we had a way of getting that reimbursed by them, I'd love to hear it. But I'm afraid they've got a right to be in the building with a lease. And we have just been subject to a considerable period of delay, contrary to their representations to us, and they're not going to pay for that. We are.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Cortese?
Yeah, just going back to the PG&E Rule 28 program, so basically what the report says, I think what you said is the problem is that the city hadn't designated this area as part of the program. That's the in lieu fee program, is it not? That Tishman or us or whoever is in the area and ordinarily would either have the option of paying in to the fund so that PG&E or the city could underground, or we had the option of undergrounding ourselves. That's how it works in our cities in Santa Clara County. I'm just wondering why if you explored that, why this particular corner street, whatever you want to call it, wouldn't have been designated in the first place for the program. if it's not designated, it's not, that's what usually triggers during the development application process. That's what usually pops the item up as needing to be done, and then there's a discussion about how much money's in the fund, are there in lieu fees in the fund, how much is it better for us to do the work ourselves or pay in? And I'm just wondering how, to what extent you explore that.
Thanks, Commissioner. So my understanding of the Rule 28 program is that there is a map of roads where the city of San Francisco elected to have utilities undergrounded, and PG&E would do the work at their cost. And that map did not include this location. And my understanding is that they are so oversubscribed in this program that they are not making any additions to the undergrounding locations for 10 years. And so there did not seem to be an opportunity to have another body do this work except for the property owner. That's my understanding of how this works. So there was not an opportunity to get reimbursed by PG&E for
right,
this
right,
work.
But you're saying the city, you're saying it's not a city requirement, which is, that's the part that's striking me as extremely odd. Why would the city leave an area that needs undergrounding like this off the map? If it's on the map, then it simply becomes a development condition, mm-hmm. correct? It becomes one of your conditions. It becomes, look, you need to do this. There's a nexus between what you're doing and the undergrounding of these lines, and we need you to do it. I guess you're saying you don't know.
Well,
Commissioner Weiner sort of asked the question, I thought, is this something the city should have been asking to have been done in the first place? And I'm just wondering why in San Francisco there'd be areas that just aren't on the map like this.
I also asked that question, although I asked it to PG&E, but they said that this area wasn't included, and there are very few areas, I think, that aren't included. I don't know that answer. I can try to find out more information about why it wasn't included, and my understanding of the process was that no additional streets would be added for a very long time because of the oversubscription of work.
Okay. Well, if you find out, I'd certainly be interested in having the information off agenda. It's not going to hold up my vote. It seems to me we sort of got off the hook, if that's the case, in it not being on the map, because I believe they would have been able to make it a development condition if PG&E didn't have the money to do it. So we would have ended up paying for it anyway, mm-hmm. Which is similar, I think, to the argument that Steve was saying, that at least the commission was aware of it and could have made a decision voluntarily to pay for it. But ordinarily, in our cities, in our county, this would just be a required development condition anyway.
So I'm going to support this. I would appreciate
at some point understanding more, just out of curiosity, how they do things over there. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Weiner?
So I'm going to have my office connect with staff, and we'll help figure it out and get an answer and see if there is something we need to be doing to moving forward.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Commissioner Alzabrata, yeah, then I think our executive director wanted to offer
Just one more question then. So the underground in this case is primarily aesthetic. A lot of times underground is things are operational after a storm, after seismic and other things. But is because the rest of the neighborhood's above ground, we'd probably still lose power from the main source, even though we're underground?
There's two parts to the project. Are two purposes for the project. One is that these lines are within 6 feet of the face of our building, so OSHA will not allow us to do any work without depowering or relocating them. Rather than just depowering these lines from time to time, we think that there is a community benefit to having them undergrounding, and that it's the right thing to do as the property owner. So we are taking this opportunity to underground the lines permanently. Up the street from us, other property owners have undergrounded lines in front of their properties for various reasons. I'm not sure that the entitlement that they were required to by their planning requirements, but they have elected to do that work. On the other side of the street, if Main Street is this street right here, on the other side of the street is actually the original, oh wait, there you go. On the other side of the street, this property here is a large data center, and they're also looking at continuing the undergrounding because they have the same problems that we have with performing work to the exterior of their building, although their time frame is a year or two later than ours. So in answer to your question about risk, you know, seismic risk, I mean, I think that problem is getting solved as more property owners are undergrounding the utilities in front of them. And to my understanding is that the property owner's own cost. I mean, I've asked that question. You know, where there are legacy lines remaining, then there will still be some risk, but reduced.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Sperry?
Just for clarification, does our side of the street get new sidewalks, curb gutter, trees, scapes? I mean, so we got a full landscaping treatment.
Yes, they do.
Okay. I think this is a good investment in the building, so I appreciate the cleanup. I have some of the same concerns that Steve had. The relocation of utilities is one of the first things you look at, but I think this is a good action to protect the investment that we have.
Okay. Great. Are there any other comments? All right, with that, may I please have a motion to, well, let's take these. First, we'll take the contract with construction services first as a separate one, and then we'll take the second PG&E contract as a second motion.
Okay, I'll move the first item.
Second.
All right, moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Cortese that we approve a contract with A&B Construction for the construction of a joint trench for undergrounding of overhead electrical and telecommunication utilities on Harrison and Main Streets in the amount of $498,000. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. And then we'll take the second one, second item, B.
Move approval of that as well.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Cortese for a contract with PG&E for the electrical utility relocation in the amount of $518,257. I have no public comment for this or the other item. Any other further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. I just had one question. Since we've approved this, oftentimes this is an opportunity for other utility companies to come in and do upgrades that they may like to do. We're dealing in our community with a similar undergrounding. So the other thing I'd like to just suggest, there may be some opportunity for some of these other, whether it's telecommunication, other data companies that want to participate in this to provide some funding if they would like to participate as well.
Thank you, Chair. That's a good comment. And there are other technology or low voltage carriers on these poles that will be included in the joint trench. And we do think that some of the costs that you've approved will be reimbursed by them, but we did not want to guarantee that at this point. But we will certainly be coming for our reimbursement to them.
Good. We'll look forward to the good news. Thank you. Commissioner Weiner?
If I could just add, we do, as do I assume other localities, have a dig once policy that if you're digging, you have to notify every utility, and then it's come now or forever hold your peace for 5 years at least, unless you have an emergency. So I assume that'll happen here. Also, we are, I should note this, we're about to pass legislation, which is long overdue, mandating that when streets get dug up, that fiber gets laid in the early or conduit, so that to do that while it's dug up. And so, I if these streets are getting dug up, we should make sure that that happens. That should be passed at the board by September.
Great. Thank you very much. I also appreciate knowing that when this trenching happens, we're also going to improve the curb cut access. I know that Commissioner Giacopini and I toured the area around the building several years ago, and it will be a great improvement to have those be up to current code and well-designed in terms of providing access. So that's great, too. All right. Thank you very much. Our next item is public comment. I'd like to invite Andre Carpio to come forward.
Good morning. I would like to make comment that is outside of the scope here. And as you have noticed, there is many initiatives that has been taken by individual to provide public transportation. And I'm referring to this new surge of private taxi, like Uber and Lyft and so forth. And for these people to succeed, they would need to have some sort of subsidy. And one of the reasons would be that they should be able to pick up a passenger at bus station and be rewarded by some sort of compensation by the adaptation of algorithm on a clipper card. And this would alleviate people who get frustrated by waiting for a bus. And sometimes the bus doesn't come or come late or doesn't come on time. And as you have noticed, the number of passenger in a bus vary greatly. Sometimes there is nobody on a bus. And so why not have these utility vehicle pick up those passengers? Remember, all those buses cost lots of money because they manufacture in real small quantity with special order for adaptation. While these Uber and all those little entrepreneurs have and carry small vehicles that are manufactured in great quantity, so the interest in this transportation get reduced tremendously. And in your advice of any smart investor, the transportation department should consider this type of alternative to not only reward the small entrepreneur, but to facilitate the individual people who take public transportation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments. With no further public comment, I'd like to adjourn the meeting to our next meeting, which will be on Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. Thank you very much.